Please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 begins on page 861, if you're using the red Bible in the pew. I think in the bulletin there's a section for my young friends here. Tally the times you hear the following words during today's sermon: hear, seed, and parables. And I guess you can ask one of the elders how many times that occurs, and you can see if you got that right. No, I haven't even tallied it up, so if one of my young friends can see how many times I say one of those words, I'd appreciate that. So helping us to be better listeners. So be reading from Matthew chapter 13, and this is the parable of the seed. You have a sower. That here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sowing of his word, which he is preaching. He is speaking to us today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And it's about us, it's about you, it's about me, and our response to the preaching of the word. So be reading from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23. Hear the living word of the living God. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. But now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so very much for your word. We thank you that it was through your spoken word that you created the heavens and the earth in the space of 6 days. We thank you, Jesus, in the fullness of time, you through whom all things were made. We thank you that you took upon yourself flesh and blood as you are our mediator, truly God and truly man. And we thank you for the revelation, the preaching of the word, not just in the speech, but we thank you for the revelation of the fulfillment of the word as you are not only giving the parable, but you are the one who has obeyed perfectly. It is that your fruitfulness, that is that the fruit of the kingdom of heaven, our roots, we are anchored in you, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that heavenly fruit. We thank you for the gift of the Spirit. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. We ask now that as your word is proclaimed, we pray that you would give us understanding. Indeed, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Well, in our text today in verse 3, it says that Jesus spoke to them in parables. Jesus did not preach about the kingdom of heaven using abstract, technical, philosophical language. He taught in the language of everyday experience because God's kingdom has to do with all of life. So abstract philosophical language may do with your technical jobs, but the way the kingdom of heaven works, it deals with everything. So if you were walking along a dangerous road or driving in a bad section of town, there's a parable for that. There's a parable about the kingdom of heaven. There's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus taught in parables about building a house, lighting a lamp, baking bread, unfair wages, sewing garments, parables about the wind, about fishermen fishing, about lost coins. And he also told a parable about what you're doing right now or what you're not doing right now. It's a parable about you listening to the word of God. Now, Jesus' parables aren't like popular movies. We think of Jurassic World Dominion, which I haven't seen yet, but I hope to. Jurassic World takes the viewer into an imaginary world, an imaginary what if. What if scientists could bring back dinosaurs? And people go to theaters or they invest in home theaters because you want to see this on a high definition screen. You want to be up close to the T-Rex as close as possible, and you want that experience of the dinosaur and that feeling of it breathing on you and the sound of its vibrations and noises. You want that to rattle the chair that you are sitting in. You might even go to see this in 3D at the IMAX theater. You want to be there, even though you'll never be there. Or when you're reading books, who doesn't like to lose themselves in Middle Earth or in Narnia? I enjoy watching documentaries about things I could never do. Documentaries about skiing certain mountains or mountain climbing. And as much as I, again, like to watch these kinds of documentaries, I'm never going to free solo El Capitan. It's not going to happen. I won't ever ski the pipeline in Snowbird, Utah, at least without killing myself. And I don't think I'll ever see, or we will ever see, the revival of Jurassic World. Not in this life. But the parables of Jesus introduce us to an even greater reality. You're a part of it. That's part of the mystery. You're listening to a story, and it's your story. So that the life you live, the life I live, no matter how mundane it may seem to be, it is part of a greater and glorious reality. This is the kingdom of heaven. So we're not just learning about a sower. We're not learning about seed. We're not learning about different kinds of soils. You are the soil. Jesus is describing how you are responding right now to the word of God and its implications for your life, your marriage, your family, your singleness, wherever you're at. He's speaking to you and to me. So this is very important as we study and read the scriptures. It's not like watching a movie or reading watching a documentary about someone else and something we probably could never do. This is your story. And it's about a greater reality than any other story or any other documentary. This is the great reality of the kingdom of God, and it extends into the age to come, the new heavens and the new earth. This is the most exciting story. It's more exciting than any movie you will see or any book that you will ever read. And think about a parable. Remember how Nathan, the prophet, he confronted David. Remember when he confronts David in 2 Samuel, and David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he basically had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, put to death. And Nathan begins to tell David a parable. And he tells a parable about a very rich man, lots of sheep and lambs, about another man who's very poor. He only has one little ewe lamb. And that ewe lamb was so precious to that poor man that it was like a daughter to him. In fact, that ewe lamb was so precious to that poor man and his family, he let it live inside with them. But when the rich man had a visitor, needed to show hospitality, Nathan says to David, you know what he did? He didn't take from his flocks or his herds. He went to that poor man, and he took the ewe lamb from that poor man, and he slaughtered it. You remember David's reaction. This is a son of destruction. He's done a wicked thing. And you remember what Nathan then says to David? You are the man. That's what a parable is. You are the man. You are the woman. You are the child. This is what Jesus is teaching, the greater son of David. Verse 4 of our text. The question is, what kind of soil am I? The word of God is being sown, is being preached. In verse 4 of our text, Jesus explains that some of the seed falls by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. So right now, I'll explain it, but that's the first soil. There's another kind of soil in verses 5 and 6. You have some falls on stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. There's another kind of soil. It's the same word, different kind of soil, verse 7. Some of the seed falls among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And then you have the soil in verse 8, where the seed falls on good ground and yields a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And Jesus says then, he who has ears, let him hear. This is a parable, and it's a parable, it's a story about you and me and our relationship to the King Jesus, his word, and the kingdom of God. In verse 10 of our text, the disciples come to Jesus, and they say to Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And then what does Jesus do? He answers them in verse 11 and following, and he answers them from the Old Testament scriptures. He answers them from the book of Daniel. He answers them from the prophet Isaiah. In fact, he mentions Moses, the prophets, in the Psalms, and how they all longed to see what you see. They all longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't see it. That's why previously in Matthew 11, verse 11, that the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist. Because now you're beginning to see that the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures in Jesus. Verse 11 of our text, to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, those that aren't hearing, not understanding, those that don't even care, those that don't care enough to ask. So if you don't understand, the disciples didn't understand, but there's something happening to them supernaturally through the work of the Holy Spirit when even they don't understand, they say, Jesus, will you explain this to us? That's an evidence of God. So if you don't understand what I'm saying or this sounds foreign, ask. That's an evidence of God at work in your heart. But if you don't ask, you don't care, you're distracted, you have other more important things going on, that's an evidence that you are not a child of the kingdom of God. So the word mystery in verse 11. The word mystery appears in the Old Testament. I think it's only in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 4. So Jesus is the Son of Man of Daniel chapter 7, and now he's teaching these mysteries. And this is the first time in the New Testament that mystery occurs. It occurs in Mark's account of the parable of the soils and also in Luke's account of the parable of the soils, and then 24 times after that in the New Testament. So Jesus is now the explainer of the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, going back to Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, where you have this usage of the mysteries that Jesus is now explaining, in Daniel chapter 2, you may remember that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he had a dream. And his dream upset him so much that he had to know the meaning of the dream. But in order to know that the interpretation of the dream was the right interpretation, do you remember that Nebuchadnezzar gave an order that his wise men, the Magi, his wise men must tell him what he dreamed. And then you tell me the interpretation. That's how much his heart was unsettled by the dream that he had in Daniel chapter 2. And you remember all the protests that the Magi, the wise men of Babylon gave. This is impossible. There's no one that knows the hearts of men. And so Nebuchadnezzar, being the great sovereign king that he was like, you know what? I'm through with you. And he gives his guards the orders, kill all the wise men in the kingdom. And he invested a lot of money in these wise men. He invested a lot of money in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not to mention all the others. And they're ready to go. And as death is knocking at the door of Daniel and his three friends, remember Daniel, he answers wisely and he says, well, there is a God of heaven who knows the hearts of men. Will you give us permission to ask Nebuchadnezzar for another day? We'll pray tonight, a prayer meeting, and we'll see if the God of heaven reveals this. Nebuchadnezzar, being the gracious man that he was, said, I'll give you another 24 hours. I'll give you a night to sleep on it. And you remember in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19, after Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, his Jewish friends prayed, verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar the next day in Daniel 2, verses 27 and 28, and he says to the king, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. And you remember that it was the mystery of the kingdom of God that Daniel explained and interpreted for Nebuchadnezzar. And it was a great mystery, and you see why it so upset Nebuchadnezzar. What was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom? The head of gold. It was chaff. That's how his dream ends. The whole statue is destroyed from this stone that's cut without hands that comes from heaven, destroys the kingdoms coming after him, the kingdoms of the Medes and the Persians, and the kingdoms of the Greeks, the kingdoms of Rome. And here is this stone cut without hands, and it comes and it destroys all of these kingdoms, including Nebuchadnezzar's, everything that he invested his life in, and now it's chaff. And this is the mystery that's explained. It's the kingdom of God. The Son of Man will be sent from heaven, and he will come, and through his obedience, he will inherit the kingdoms of the world. That's the meaning, O great King. To you it has been granted to know, Jesus now says to us. This is the one who has been sent from heaven in Daniel chapter 2. What's he saying to you and to me? To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. Why was it granted to Nebuchadnezzar to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven over almost 600 years before Jesus? He asked. Well, he demanded. He had Daniel. And Daniel revealed that mystery to him. It was revealed again to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. And I think it's in Daniel 4 that Nebuchadnezzar is converted. So what is Jesus doing in our text here today? It's something greater than what Daniel did for Nebuchadnezzar. in Daniel chapter 2. He is revealing to you the purpose of God for all of the kingdoms of the world. He is revealing to you and to me the purpose of the kingdom of heaven, and he's saying, what is your relationship to it? This is Jesus. He is the one who is the obedient one. That is the mystery of his obedience, and where do you fit in? How do you fit in to the sermon? How you receive God's word is a revelation of you. This is revelation. This is a revealing of you. It's a revealing of your heart that is happening right now. It's a revealing of your life and your relationship. In verses 13 through 15 of our text, Jesus speaks in parables so that some would not understand. It's a fulfillment of the word of God. Verses 16 and 17, Jesus spoke in parables so that his elect would see and hear. And Jesus does a wonderful thing, doesn't he, in verses 16 and 17. It should cause you to rejoice. He pronounces a benediction upon you if you hear and you understand. This is a benediction for you. This is something that Jesus pronounces. The same God who pronounced a benediction on in creation in Genesis chapter 1, now this is the Redeemer who is pronouncing a blessing for you. Did you know you're blessed? How are you doing today, brother and sister? I'm blessed. With what? Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The prophets and righteous men of the Old Testament desired to see Christ, didn't they? They longed to see the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus' disciples were both seeing and hearing. The interpretation then of the parable is given by Jesus after they ask, if you don't understand, ask. And Jesus then in verse 19, he says, hear, verse 18, hear the parable. In other words, understand the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. So right now, as God's word is going forth, there is a spiritual warfare. Do you understand what is being proclaimed? Do you understand who you are in relationship to the kingdom of heaven? Do you understand the blessing of knowing Christ and having eyes that see and ears that hear? Every day of my life that I have eyesight, it's getting worse as I get older, but every day that I have eyesight, I'm very thankful. How much more to have eyesight for the kingdom of heaven? To see, so I love looking at the glory of creation. I love looking at the glory of the ocean. I love looking at the glory of mountains. But that's all created glory. It's actually a part of a fallen glory. The creation groans. But if you have eyes that see the glory of Christ and the kingdom of God, there's nothing better, there's nothing more glorious to gaze upon. The beauty of the Lord, to see these things with the eyes of faith because the Holy Spirit has opened your heart. You're blessed. I don't think I've ever gotten tired of looking at the ocean. I pray that I hope you're praying, I never tire looking at the word of God and the glory of God and my salvation. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. So God has given us the creation to look at and to gaze upon. Praise God for that. But are you a new creation? And can you see God's love for you in the Lord Jesus Christ? It's very important that you understand this. Right now, there is another supernatural force at work, the devil, and he is trying to snatch that and to take that from you. So believing the word of God in a way that is fruitful is a life and a death struggle. It doesn't come passively. You have to actively pursue it. Verses 20 and 21, you have the seed that falls on the soil of the rocky places. And this seed does not bear fruit because of affliction and persecution. In our prayer meeting before worship today, people were praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. We have a freedom to assemble to worship the Lord. We don't have much concern that we won't be able to go home, that some of us or the elders will be arrested and put in prison. But some of our brothers and sisters around the world have that fear constantly. Some people will fall away because of that kind of persecution and affliction. Verse 22, other people, the seed falls among the soil that is the thorny soil. The worries and the riches, the pleasures of life, choke that out. That probably very well fits North American Western society. But then there's the seed in verse 23 of our text. It's the good soil, and it bears fruit, 160 and 30-fold. This is a great investment. So for those of you who like investing, a 100-fold investment or a 60-fold investment, a 30-fold investment, I think you'd take that any year. I think Warren Buffett takes that every year, it seems like. Some of the wealthiest men. Who are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're hearing the word of God, you are the wealthiest man, the wealthiest woman, the wealthiest boy or girl. Because there's an investment, there's a return for the kingdom of God that is greater than any other investment or return. So again, if you like investing, you're going to be listening to investing advice from other people. Here is the king. Here is the one who, being rich, became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. You are blessed. I hope you hear that. I hope you look at this and you say, there's nothing greater and more glorious to invest in than the kingdom of God. Because the king himself invested in you, didn't he? God the Father invested in me by sending his son to die for my sin. There's nothing that he's going to get any return on investment for that. But he did that for his glorious grace and his majesty. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm glad to be here. I am blessed. I am blessed because I am loved by our triune God. And I hope you understand that as well. I think that the hundredfold blessing here. Now, in ancient times, you could expect, I think, anywhere between a 7 and 15-fold return on your agricultural investment. I think modern-day farming agriculture, maybe 40%. 100% is really good. And 100% was attained in Genesis chapter 26. In Genesis chapter 26, do you remember how God blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It was the blessing that Adam and Eve lost because of their disobedience. And so God blesses Abraham, he blesses Isaac, and he blesses Jacob. And God blessed Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. And he says in verse 4, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Wow, what a blessing. That blessing is found through Jesus Christ, and if you are in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. 100-fold, 60, 30-fold. Blessed are your eyes, verse 16 of our text, because they see, and your eyes because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it. So if you're a Christian, I have good news for you. You and I are blessed. We are blessed more than we know. We are blessed above and beyond anything we could ask for or imagine. And if you are not a Christian, I also have good news for you right now. You can receive God's blessing through faith. There is no blessing outside of Jesus. But right now, you can reach out with the hand of faith and lay hold of Christ for eternal life. Do you hear Christ speaking to you, the Good Shepherd? Will you reach out by faith? Will you let go of your sin and leave them at the foot of the cross and lay hold of Christ's righteousness? It's yours for the asking. And I pray that the soil of your heart would be such that the Holy Spirit would grant you that kind of repentance. Again, as I mentioned already, if you are a Christian, the blessing of God is something that you must continually wrestle for. You must be resisting the devil who is trying right now to snatch it away. You must, above all else, guard your heart. Whether it's affliction or persecution, the world, the flesh, and the devil are all working against the fruitfulness of God's word. So I pray that God's word is falling on good soil in your life, your household, and this congregation. But it is, again, something that we must actively seek. And this is what I want to close with, that active listening to God's word is one of the elements of worship. So you have the preaching of the word, and the active listening of the word, they go hand in hand. The Westminster Confession of Faith in chapter 21 lists the parts of the worship of God. The singing of psalms with grace in the heart. What a blessing. Administration and worthy receiving of the sacraments. The reading of the scriptures with godly fear. The sound preaching. The conscionable hearing of the word in obedience unto God with understanding, faith, and reverence. The conscionable hearing of God's word, this is what we're talking about in this parable, the conscionable hearing of God's word is an element of worship. And conscionable means it's principled listening, it's careful listening, it's diligent listening, it's listening to God's word to understand it and to obey it. The Larger Catechism helpfully outlines conscionable hearing in question and answer 160. And I'm going to read the whole thing for you because it's so very helpful. But you might want to go home this afternoon and meditate on Larger Catechism number 160. What is required of those that hear the word preached? It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, prayer, examine what they hear by the scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God, meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. People sometimes ask me, Pastor Aaron, how much time do you put into sermon preparation? I say, well, I've been a pastor for 25 years, so it's been at least 25 years. But there's an equally, because every sermon builds on another. So I've preached through the book of Daniel. So what you're getting today is the book of Daniel. I'm preaching through Isaiah right now. You're getting Isaiah. It's 25 years plus. But there's an equally important question. How much time do you put into sermon preparation? You think I have an easier time of sermon preparation than you when you need to prepare your heart? Charles Spurgeon once preached, "We are told men ought not to preach without preparation." Granted. But we add, "Men ought not to hear without preparation." Which do you think needs the most preparation, the sower or the ground? It seems to be that there is more preparation needed by the ground than by the sower, more by the hearer than by the preacher. The listener to God's word has just as much of an obligation to conscionably prepare and listen, just as much as I have the obligation to prepare and to preach the word of God. So yes, preaching is a lot of work, but conscionable hearing is just as much work. So here are a few practical ways of conscionable hearing and receiving the word of God. If you're concerned, and I pray that you are concerned, I'm praying right now. I'll pray, God, will you give me a desire for conscionable hearing? You can pray that right now where you're at. God, will you give me a conscionable desire for this? You can say, God, I'm distracted. I don't feel like having it. That's okay. He knows that. God, will you change my heart? Will you give me a greater hungering, a thirsting for these things? So here are a few practical ways of receiving God's word. First, if you are a Christian, rejoice that you are blessed. Rejoice. Start with thankfulness of who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise Jesus that he is the perfect hearer. The reason you and I hear is because Jesus heard. He obeyed perfectly. And he satisfied God's perfect righteousness at the cross. The justice that's due for my sin and your sin, it was paid in full at the cross. That's why we can have that blessing. Secondly, listening to God's word isn't passive, but active. So you can watch a movie, documentary, you're just sitting on the couch potato, right? The pews, they're hard. It's so you're not potatoes, couch potatoes. Think of it that way, all right? I'm all for comfortable chairs. But you need to understand that you are wrestling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You must be actively listening. Be like Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. Third, the ability to hear God's voice does not come naturally to us. It is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must pray for God's blessing upon the preaching and hearing of the word. And I was very thankful to see a prayer meeting before worship this morning. It's part of that praying, God, set my mind, my heart, So you have it before the service. You had here a time of silence, but also about 30 minutes before the sermon. In a short book, The Family at Church, Listening to Sermons and Attending Prayer Meetings. You should read books like this, by the way. How do you listen to preaching? I've read a lot of books on preaching, but you should be reading books, How to Listen to Preaching. So Joel Beakey says in his book, Listening to Sermons and Attending Prayer Meetings, Joel Beakey says that you should be praying for, here's some things you should be praying for. You can add this for your prayer meeting. Pray for the glorification of God's triune name. Pray for the conversion of sinners and the edification of saints. Pray for listening ears and understanding hearts. Pray that God would help you to concentrate fully on his word and that it would be fruitful in your life. I want that hundredfold blessing. 60 is all right. 30 is great. I'm looking for that 100, Lord. Pray that your minister will receive the unction of the Holy Spirit so that he will open his mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Pray for an outpouring of the Spirit's convicting, quickening, humbling, and comforting power. Pray that God would give you a healthy appetite for his word. Fourthly, it's okay to ask questions. You should have sermon discussions. Confer upon the word of God. Talk about these things with those people that are on your dinner table this afternoon. Meditate on them. And finally, understand that when the preaching is done, you're not. You're just getting started. I don't know how long this sermon was, 45 minutes? It's for the rest of your life. It's for the rest of my life as well. Please pray with me.